Hi, gay is not sin. Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. The Bible doesn't condemn gays. Don't you think it's time that you begin to study? You know, I just happened to get a new program and from BibleSoft. BibleSoft is called PC Bible Study, and it's their big complete version. And it's kind of interesting, you know, is it because they added all the different Bibles and everything, and besides the King James, they started, you know, when they first began, I remember I even had a salesman come out to my house to go over that Bible study program, and I bought my first Bible study program from BibleSoft. And anyway, they only had the King James version then, but now I think they have like 53 versions or something of the Bible, something like that anyway. But they have all these kind of commentaries and all this kind of stuff. And I was under the kind of the assumption, you know, about, you know, I like that version. Thank you. You know, one of you kind of donated the Bible to me, that version. Appreciate that. But I was a little bit concerned that, you know, it would be good to use generally like I use some of the older versions of that. Because I thought, you know, usually all the commentaries would be really on the homophobic kind of side. But, you know, actually I was pretty amazed, and it makes it all the more confusing as to why you can actually still condemn gay people. Yeah, you know, I got real brave, and I decided I'm going to, you know, because, you know, it's just sickening to read people that write things about it, and they use information that is false and lies, that there's tons of information to show that this is so, and yet it is, that's what's available to you. So, you know, I was kind of concerned that if I did go and look in all the various commentaries, because, you know, this Bible program is awful big and has so many things you push here, and you just go, Nick's Glen, or, you know, like it has a lexicon, this is a Nick's lexicon, Nick's lexicon, and so forth. And so you can look at all the different versions of that's out there for the original Hebrew, the original Greek, and then all the people that are supposedly, you know, famous, you know, because you go to this Bible bookstore and you buy all the different kind of commentaries by the people that's supposed to be, you know, your denomination really like this one and so forth and so on. Well, anyway, these gathered together some of the most popular commentators, and besides all the other, you know, and so here I am pushing the buttons on the thing, bringing up these verses that you use to condemn gays, and I was expecting to see them to arbitrarily throw in, you know, certain things that would make a verse say that it's talking about homosexuals. But to my amazement, which is why I'm saying I'm so amazed at how you can do any kind of studying out there and don't understand that these verses are not talking about gays. I mean, you put it up on the verses. It doesn't matter which verse you go to, Leviticus, Romans, it doesn't matter. It goes into the detail, like the Strong Concordance gives you the idea that those words there in 1 Corinthians 6:9 means, like, the infeminate means catamite, especially in the days of Paul, where, you know, in other words, an expensive call boy. And then the word, the other one was sodomite. And then I go to the next lexicon, and it says a male prostitute. And that's all that it had for it. Here, this is a big, fantastic, expensive Bible program, and yet the verses that you use to condemn gays don't talk about gays. Then you go to Romans chapter 27, you go through all these commentaries. You know, see, I've done this on my own. I have gone and lived in the bookstores, and I've gone to all the various commentaries, and I've done my research for over 32 years. But it's kind of neat when you can get on these famous ones that you guys always like to use and everything, and you come out and you can be engaged. And it's kind of funny how you want to avoid some of these most popular ones. And, you know, Romans 27, 26, 27, it describes kind of behavior that, yeah, I mean, you have to be really a sick person to think gays behave this way. You really have to be sick mentally. You have to be deranged in your mind to really believe that the exhaustive definition that all of these commentaries put in for this meaning in Romans 26 and 27, that you can actually associate that with gay behavior. Because gays are like you. The simple little thing that I've been saying in recent time program is boy meets boy. They date, they fall in love, and they marry, you know, just like the boy meets girl. They date, they fall in love, and they marry. You know all about the straight side of things. You know about when you begin to start dating and begin to have these falling in love episodes, and then many of you are now married. And you could trace your steps. You know some of the times when some of you, you know, you just went out and just wanted them. But there's other times when you went out because you really were looking for a spouse. But sometimes it just didn't work, you know, making up and breaking up. Type of thing, you know. You got ex-girlfriends, ex-boyfriends, and all this other kind of stuff. The whole kind of nine yards out there about the dating process. And you really don't consider a lot of that anything to do with sin. You might joke about, tell maybe you're sort of kind of a slut, but you're kind of doing it in a joking manner because earnestly, in your own heart, you were really seeking the person you wanted to be with and it didn't work out. And in that process, you did date a few different people. Some of you dated lots of people. And in the Christian world, it's already been researched, 69% of you have sex on the first date. So if you're sitting there and saying, well, you didn't, that you're waiting, now, okay, great for you, but then that means you have to automatically condemn all your straight peers that are out there, 69% of them, doing it. Why can't you study people? Why can't you be able to look at what is described in the Greek word from lots of different commentaries, explanations? Yeah, you can find some that, well, after they said and described all of this horrid type of behavior, you know, how evil and intent this lust is, and describing what this word means and everything, and all so much involved in the way these commentaries talk about describing what the intent of the word was in those ancient days. And then, at least one of all of these, only one, because I looked through them all, actually ended it by saying sort of homosexual behavior or something. Just like, well, how did they get that into it? As the last kind of word or something after the type of description that they detailed. Well, gays do not do this kind of thing. They go into detail of what this burn mean in the actual time that that Greek word was used. And I'll tell you something. You're not going to find any gays behaving like that. So what you need to do is study and show yourself approved. Morning. And so you won't have to wish things and guess things and assume things. That's what's so great about studying. You can go to sources that can tell you that it's gay sin. But when they tell you this, you see, I'm not just speaking crazy speak. I've talked to hundreds of thousands of you. And those of you, which is the hundreds of thousands of you that think gay is sin, you're always saying, I'm trying to justify it. So what do I do? I come in here and I'm telling you, this is what the original language says. This is what the commentaries say. This is what the actual history says. This is what real life today says. I have given you stuff, information. And what do you say? I'm justifying. And do you explain yourself? How do you explain yourself? You say, well, Romans chapter 26 and 27. Read it. That's almost that is about the most common thing I ever hear. Read it. You're talking to me, been on TV here 20 years every week, been researching this issue for 32 and a half years, and you're saying for me to read one of these 14 verses that you might use? Out of those 14 verses, several of the verses you never use, but they have the same word in it. And so it's all clumped into like one idea, although it took 7 verses to do it, or depends on how you look at it, 5 verses, but there are some other ones that are there that adds a couple more to it, so you got about 7 verses there. But you use those more often than you do in the Old Testament. You use maybe one location where it has actually 4 more locations of using that word. So I just add all of these words that you have available to you to say gay is sin, or some sort of male-to-male sex, or some kind of generality that you have somehow, even though it doesn't talk about any sexual orientation, somehow made it to mean gay is sin. And I am telling you that this doctrine that you are saying, quoting verbatim, is 700 years old. There are other conditionings that has come forth after. I was talking to somebody last night, chatting away, and you know one of the questions? What do they say? Guaranteed, predictable from somebody that thinks gay is sin. Were you molested as a child? That is one of the most common things that is thought of why a gay person is gay. That's kind of, did you have a horrid childhood? This is kind of ridiculous. You got 630 million gays out there in the world. Can't you even think about taking some sort of realistic time commitment and look into it to see if any of these things are true? Or do you just like to go to your famous homophobe author and read his book? And so then now you can start quoting, just like, you know, it's just like you don't even have any thoughts of your own. You have to quote. You have this one thing, Adam and Steve. God didn't make Adam and Eve. I mean, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And you just can't get this kind of cliche out of your, this little phrase out of your brain. Don't you ever ask yourself, why? You have to get, you know, there's a bigger area here than just saying God didn't make Adam and Steve. You got to find out a few things. God, what color was Adam? And when he took out that rib, what is the real thing that God did? Because that Greek word, I mean that Hebrew word for rib, actually means cell from that rib. You know, DNA, genes, the X and Y, chromosomes and all that, all this kind of stuff in there. You know, we know a lot about it. They're making cat copies of cows and lambs and animals, and we're pretty sure they've made one of humans already. You know, there's some people that's claimed it, and some people say they proved that they didn't. And, you know, this is a big world. There's people out there doing things. We think they've already cloned a human. It may not sound too good that God cloned Adam to make Eve. Well, you know, the cloning process means you're making an exact copy, because that's all we can do. Right now, anyway, we can't go in there and reprogram a certain gene or arrange, you know, take the genes out and really kind of do a little bit more, because we don't know how the program, as it were. Now, God did the programming. He can rewrite the program. And so he took out a cell out of Adam, and he rewrote some of the programming there to give the female features. And so you had Eve. Now, it doesn't give you any idea. Was Eve full grown? Was Eve, you know, we have movies that show people clone people, and they just automatically start out as full-sized human. Well, let's look at real cloning, you know. What do they start out as? One cell. Goes into two cells, you know. Turns into a baby. And then it grows up. Learns to walk. Learns to talk. And finally, becomes an adult. Takes years. So, do we have instantaneous adult in Eve, or did we have a little baby starting? Well, we don't have any Bible to tell us anything except that Eve was there. God had 6 days. We take that literally. I mean, he had to do something pretty fast. Well, he made Adam out of the dust. So maybe he took that cell and made some dust the right size. We could just play games all over the place. Some people think that each one of those 6 days or 7 days, which is 1,000 years. So that would pretty much mean that Adam had 1,000 years before he came out of the garden. But we don't have the exact wording of the Bible to clarify to us today. We have a lot of people with good opinions, good guesses. Maybe they're right. But if you want to use the Bible, you don't have that information. So you do a lot of guessing. So what color was Eve? Was she white? Was she black? Was she brown? Yellow? Red? What color was she? What color was her hair? Because whatever she was, then that's what's supposed to be the correct way. Because God didn't make a blonde if Eve was a brunette. God didn't make brown eyes if Eve was blue eyes. So these would have to be sin, because this is the way, when you're saying God didn't make Adam and Steve, this is what you're saying. God made Eve with certain color hair, and a certain kind of body style, and a certain kind of color. Most likely the same color or race that Adam was. Why is it so easy for you to understand that as time went by, all of these other races and colors and all this and characteristics developed? Why is it so easy for you to do that? But you can't think about that in that very DNA. Was Steve. Steve was in the DNA all along. You need to study. Just like me, you know. I was avoiding looking in this new study Bible, not very long, couple of days, but I decided, well, you know, I need to do my homework, because that's what I believe in. So let me see what these homophobes think. And so, I looked in there, well, it seems like that they're kind of forced to do the truth. So it's kind of hard to figure out where you're getting the information from. Because I know something about Bible sloth. Bible sloth is not a fly-by-night place. It's one of the major sources for Bible study. In computers. There's lots of different sources out there. There's lots of other commentaries and lots of other stuff. But pretty much, you got a really good setup in BibleSoft program. And especially for people that call themselves Pentecostal and stuff like that, like me, this is the kind of stuff that we like. And so, here we have this information right in front of our eyes, and yet somehow we still reject it. Somehow we're able to see in between the lines or something what we want to see. It's hard to understand. it never ceases to amaze me that you can say the words burned in lust with vile affection, and you say this is what gays do. It never ceases to amaze me how dumb you are, how stupid you are, how hateful you are, because this is not truth. It is not reality. And you say, well, the Bible says so. The Bible is talking about somebody, but not gays. You have eyes, you have ears, you have history. You can look all around you. You could see gays, and you could see, do they behave that way? Now, let's take a little picture. See, here's my house here. Got some red flowers here. The last program had purple flowers, you know. There's some red flowers up kind of over here. And got the lawn down here. You know, I mow it. Did some edging the other day and trimmed some of the, you know, I got plenty of forest around here. Trimmed some of them. I put in my stairs here, and I put in all these windows myself. You know, I kind of did this kind of thing. I have a lover. He's been with me for 17 years. Did you hear me? He's been with me 17 years. What do you think we do? He works. I work. I'm a manager. Doesn't take very long. God blesses me like crazy. He blesses our relationship. You know, I go to work. So I ask God, you know, I've been around the block. I don't have any hair left here. If I didn't color my hair, it'd be gray. So, you know, I should be a manager here. I was a manager at my last job, and I've been in my last job for over 10 years. And then the company was sold out by a California company, and they moved out. So I got me another job, and a couple of months later, I'm promoted to manager, and just about a week later, I mean a week ago, after about 5 months, 6 months, I'm promoted again to have a manager over a little bit more. You know, I could ask God for things and he gives it to me. I had 3 very major physical healing. I said, God, heal me in Jesus' name. And instantaneously, several things didn't happen in the different kinds of healing that I got. I literally saw the Holy Spirit come down and pour down on me. And I felt the result of that. I felt the warm oil of healing coming down my body. I know some things, you know. I've been around. God's blessed me, answered prayers, helped my life. Like I said, you know, this is a home, household. It's a family. You go into it and see how we live. You go into your other family, straight family, and see how they live. They're not very much different. We got cars in our garage there. Pay our bills. We're a little blessed a little bit, so don't need any too much help around. If you like to help, love your help. So if you look at real gays, you'll find out they're not burning in vile lust one toward another. They're just two individuals in love, just like you. Hey, if you want me to speak at your church or organization, there's numbers and phone numbers and everything like that and addresses. Please give me a call. I'd love to speak at your church. Hey, take up a challenge. You believe that gay is sin? Let's call on the God in your church, your whole congregation, doing what you believe, casting out demons, bringing up verses and all that. And then when you're done, it's my turn to preach and do those things. Let's see what God does. I know God will be with me. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now begin to read the King James Version. All modern versions are from Westcott and Hort. I call them Satan counterfeits. 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions in modern versions. Remember, invite me to your church to speak. And I'll see you next week.